What is happening, people, and welcome to this episode of the Answer Podcast. I just want to give a quick apology. I haven't been around for a couple of weeks. One of them, I've been away, and I've had a couple of cancellations as well. So I really appreciate it. Everyone's sticking with it. There's a few people like that you can I can see on here. So we sort of get listeners now from everywhere around the world. So we've got like Lithuania, we've got Argentina, Canada, UK, Portugal, Greece, Nepal, Germany, Italy, Spain. And I can see that everyone's seeing it. But I'm saying if anyone wants to get in contact as well, please go on my Instagram, which is at theanswerpodcast2024, and give me a message and see how you feel. And I want to hear your views about things and what I can improve and what I can do. And so going on to today's episode, we got you, haven't we, Bob?
Yes, you got me.
Bob hasn't had an NDE, but he's going to tell us a very fascinating story about his life.
Okay. Is that the question? You want me to tell you about my life?
A lot of things, and I'm still confused of what's going on.
Well, I'm a unique person, or a unique being, I should say. Anyway, so, where to begin? I guess it's a spiritual awakening. Right from the get-go, when I was young, I was growing up in a very elite family. My daddy went to Harvard University, and they had a summer house in Hyannisport, which is in Massachusetts, and on Cape Cod. And their next door neighbor were the Kennedys, and he played touch football with John F. Kennedy and his family. And there were a lot of things that happened in my growing up. When we lived in Briarcliff Manor, New York, my backyard neighbor was Alan Ludden and Betty White. And I started to realize right from the beginning, I like to say I was born Jewish, raised Episcopal. I became an agnostic. I knew there was something out there, but I didn't know what it was. And all of the other religions and everything I'd seen so far just didn't make any sense. And so then I got introduced to Scientology, and there's a lot of bad press about Scientology, but it was paramount, and it did help me to remember all of my previous lives this time around. In other words, when I say this time around, this is the third time that I've volunteered to come to Earth. And I've had, this is my fifth lifetime in this round. And Scientology helped me to remember those previous four lifetimes and get me much more in touch with this lifetime. And so, for example, When I was in the auditing session, I did a confessional. And what a confessional was, is it was where you, anytime you hurt somebody, disobey the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, which, by the way, is in 13 different religions and philosophies on Earth. I mean, it's everywhere. And so this confessional, basically, I went through this lifetime, and they even pulled out of me with the time that I stole a yo-yo when I was about 8 years old. And then once you get all of these overts or all of these violations of the golden rule out, you then find out the reason you did all these things. And it's called an FPRD rundown, which is a false purpose rundown. And in this rundown, you approach each one of these overts, each one of these bad acts, and you find out why you did it. And, I won't go through all of the bad acts except for the first one. The first one was when I discovered or remembered coming to the earth. In other words, I was taken from an infinite, immortal, loving being and put into a finite body. And I had the feeling of being crushed, and it was horrible. It was something I had never experienced before in my entire existence, because I didn't know what or who I was. Every other time I'd come to Earth, and there was two times before, I knew what I was, I knew who I was, and I knew why I was there. This time I didn't, because we needed, in the loving galaxy, we needed to know what it was like to be on this Earth. We needed to know what it was like to be tempted to do wrongs, to do things. And we needed to know why so many people were doing such horrible things. And that's when it became obvious, because I'm not sure how familiar you are with the Bible, but in Genesis, we were told not to taste of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And the minute we, quote unquote, tasted that fruit, which was to taste it, that was when we disobeyed the command, don't do something you're not supposed to. And the minute we did that, we started on this slippery slope, and I started on this slippery slope, because with the first lifetime, it was good. I mean, I had a wife, I was a pioneer in America, and we were crossing the plains in a wagon, and we were attacked by what we thought were Indians. And in front of me, and my wife, by the way, was another being that had come with me, and we were going to go together through these lifetimes, and it was not to be, because she was raped and murdered in front of me and tortured. I mean, it was horrible, and I couldn't do anything. And then I was sodomized and murdered, I mean, tortured and murdered. And at the second I started to be subjective to mortal pain, mortal danger, I popped out of my body and I started watching what was unfolding from outside my body. So all of the, and I turned off, and this is the crazy thing, I could turn off the pain receptors in my body, and I could still control it from outside my body. And this is one of my, I call it heavenology gifts or abilities. And because we are the creators of the universe, and we have the loving creators of heaven. And we have a huge responsibility to take care of our bodies. We don't want them to suffer pain. We don't want them to hurt. We don't want them to get sick. We don't want them to do anything. And so the healing technologies, those are the healing technologies of the loving galaxy or heaven. The out-of-body experiences, that's the way we get out of our bodies, and we can still control them. We can change our chemistries. When I was in veterinary school, I had a 40-hour job in addition to going to veterinary school. And it was nothing to me, because I have a very good memory. I have an IQ that's, I'm not even going to tell you, because it doesn't really matter. I'm very smart. And it was easy for me to learn stuff, and it was also easy for me to do jobs. So I was a janitor, I was a kennel hand, caretaker for the animals. I cleaned the cages and did all that stuff. And then I lived in a mobile home park, and I I had a mobile home service where I fixed and repaired mobile homes and did electrical stuff. And I mean, I've just been a creator and from the get-go. And so, you know, I'm going to go ramble on and on and on. So if you want to reel me in, just say, get back to the point.
So the bit that I'm struggling to understand is, so you say you've lived these past lives, but this is for the people that don't have a clue about any of this. So how do you know your past lives? How do you connect with them?
Okay, I don't know my past lives, which is an interesting thing, because, you know, life on this earth is kind of, it's not meaningless, but it is, how to describe it? It is helping, I guess my basic purpose, which is what I discovered, is to help, okay? And so that's all I want to do. That's all I like to do. And that's all I do is to love and to help. And so that is what I've done in every single time I've been on Earth. But this time, it was a discovery process. And so, you know, the number of things that I've discovered that we can do, I call it heavenology. These are the things if anybody who's been on the spiritual awareness places, they know, you know, the things like empathy and energy healing and mediumship and having spirit guides and astral projection, out of body experiences, animal whispering, reading auras, clairvoyance, precognition, telekinesis, other dimensions and realities. And I have a special one. It's called weather control. I mean, I can control weather. When I was in my veterinary hospital, I would sit there at the computer with all the employees, because there was a storm front coming through, and we'd just sit there at the computer looking at the storm front coming at us, and it would literally divide and go around us. And, you know, we'd get a little rain, but the major storm would miss us. I was sleeping in my house one time, and I was sound asleep, but there was a hurricane coming through. I mean, I didn't care. I wasn't afraid. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if you've ever walked on a street in the rain and a real heavy rain, and in the gutters or the channels on the sides of the roads, that a lot of water runs through them. I remember the experience of walking in the rain, listening and feeling the thunder and seeing the lightning and the power of that storm, and just walking barefoot in that channel and feeling the cold water rushing across my feet. I mean, the warm water, because it had come across the blacktop macadam asphalt, whatever you want to call it. And it gets warm, and I could feel the warm water on my feet and the cold rain on my back and my face. It was amazing. And so I could control weather. I've always loved it.
When you say you can control it, so how does that work? Do you know how it works?
Okay. It's an energy. In other words, we're not our bodies. We're spiritual beings. And that energy comes from love. And in other words, in Mark, in the New Testament, he states, God is love. Heaven is love. We are love. And in other words, we were made in Genesis 1:26, it states, we made man in our image, after our likeness, and gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beasts of the field, everything on the earth, and everything that creepeth and crawleth upon the earth. In other words, dominion is stewardship. We were supposed to take care of. We're the caretakers. And so we have all these powers so that we can take care of creation. Because also in Genesis, it's stated that God, or the Creator, I'd like to say, created the universe in the first 6 days. All the life, night, day, the planets, and everything. And I believe it's the Big Bang. Because if you, we won't get into E=MC², what was that called? Anyways, it doesn't matter. I've got the concept. And what it is that time is slower when there's infinite mass. And as the mass expands, time speeds up. And so, time is really fast at the beginning, and it slows down as it speeds up. So by the time you got to the sixth day, which was about 100,000 or whatever, a million years ago, everything slowed down, and we had night and day, and the planets were formed, and life began to rise, and we had evolution. We had the asteroid that took out the dinosaurs so that the mammals could rise, and the mammals gave rise through evolution to the people and human, H. sapiens, Homo sapiens. And that was when the Creator, and by the way, we believe that the Creator was the combination of all of us. In other words, when you had infinite mass at the beginning of the Big Bang, you also had infinite beings. And those infinite beings were one infinite being, but then they divide just like the mass divided, and they became individuals. And each individual was a copy of the infinite being that created it, but at the same time, they had their own mind, their own, and when we had bodies, their own body, and we had our own experiences and everything else. But getting back to the soul or the thing that unified us was love. And when we divided, some of the beings were deficient in love. They just hadn't any. And so that's evil. In other words, evil is nothing more than the lack of love. And it's not that, and the strange thing is, I love them every much as I love you. I love myself, because they can't help what they are. They just don't have love. And again, if I start going down channels that you want to rein me back in.
It wasn't just that. It's because obviously the whole weather situation, the thing that you said about that, I was only asking you because a lot of listeners are obviously going to think that when you said about the storm and stuff, it could just be coincidence. And this is why I was asking if there was a way that you knew.
It could be coincidence, but it happened over and over again. It's happening now. I mean, you know, right now, my girlfriend, we just turn on the weather. I don't worry about hurricanes. I live in an area, part of the country that's got massive hurricanes, and they're all the time. And I don't worry about them. I just don't. I'll give you the best example. I was sleeping, I think I started to tell you. And I was sleeping in my house, and there was a hurricane coming through. And again, I don't worry about it. And I was just sleeping like I always do. And when I woke up the next morning and I looked out the back door, I had a row of oleander bushes, which are a kind of flower bush. They're fairly tall. They're about 10 feet tall. And they'd been blown over. And I thought it was strange, though, because they'd been blown over away from the house. And they were only about 30 feet from the house, or about 10 meters. And I'm just going, whoa, that's weird. And then when I got up and I started talking to my neighbors and everything, I found out that their tornado had touched down and taken off the church spire across the field, and then it come down farther and it knocked a tree into a house just across the field. It was about the size of a soccer field, and a football field, as you call them, a rugby field, whatever. Anyway, it knocked down the tree, and it was heading straight for my house. And instead of hitting my house, it popped up, and it went over my house, and it came down 2 miles away, and it took out neighborhoods. And so we can control weather, but we don't do it in the loving galaxy, because who knows how many people or how much damage was done to those people who were in that neighborhood. But I just protect myself. I've protected myself. You know, I can remember situations where I should have been had a lot of bad things happen to me, and I walked through them unscathed. And you know, with the empathy with the people that have come to help me when, you know, there was no reason for them to come help me. So weather control is—it's definite. I mean, and my sister—I will tell you about. She's got the gift too, and she was driving. You know, and she used to watch the storms go around us, and gradually she became a believer. But just about a week and a half ago, it was raining where I used to live. And she still lives there. And she was driving up a hill, coming down the hill was a person in a wheelchair, and it was pouring rain. I mean, it was really a deluge. And so she pulled off into a parking lot up the road, and she got out, and she had an umbrella, so she grabbed the umbrella, and she was going to give the person the umbrella and let her use it to go to wherever she was going. This is on a university campus, so she was probably going to, well, she actually was going to a dorm room. And so anyway, so she was going to give her the umbrella. And when she got to her, she was a quad amputee. She had no limbs. She was driving her wheelchair with her mouth. And oh God, I cry when I get to this point. It's just so amazing. And when she got to the wheelchair, the rain stopped. And, excuse me, it's going to take me a while to get back my, anyway, so she, anyway, so she took the umbrella and she walked with her to her dorm room. And she went into the dorm room. And when my sister came out, the rain started pouring again. I mean, this is the power we have, but we don't use it. We can only use these powers for love, to help. And we can heal. My cousin, Bill, he has a healing ability that he can use on himself. Whenever he gets sick, you know, and, you know, everybody else got sick and had real great problems, but he felt like there was an electrical charge that went through his body when he was getting real sick, and he got well. And so, if you went to one of my websites, it talks about electrotherapy. And one of the things that is available is electrotherapy, where you run electricity through your bodies. And I know I'm going to get into some chemistry here, and I'll try to be as brief and as explanatory as possible. But when the electricity goes through the body, it splits the molecules and makes different things. And so when it goes through a salt solution, it turns the salt solution into hypochlorous acid. Now, that's not hypochloric acid, that's hypochlorous acid. And what hypochlorous acid is, a molecule that is produced by our immune system cells, our white blood cells, to destroy and cure every pathogen known to man, you know, every virus, bacteria. It detoxifies toxins, and it speeds healing by stimulating stem cells. And so what my cousin was doing was he was creating electrical charge in his body and healed himself. And, you know, the light energy that some healers have, and some of them just are laying on of hands and they feel an electricity between their hands. All of these gifts, this heavenology, is part of what the loving galaxy gives to every one of us if we are connected to it. In other words, if we have love in our hearts. But it's only for the people who have love in their hearts. And so, you know, these gifts are special. They are unbelievably special. And anyways, so you'd want to ask me more questions?
Yeah, so what I'm going to get onto now is then, so which bit should I get first? Let me just think. So you said to me before we come on here that you call yourself an archangel. Can you go into a bit of detail, please?
Well, archangels are really angels. We're all angels in a sense. That's what we called ourselves when people didn't understand spirits and matter of fact, if they thought it had anything to do with spirits, that's why so many witches were burned. I mean, witches were nothing more than loving people who could heal. Who could, they had familiars, they had the cats because they were animal whisperers. They could communicate with animals. And I've got that gift, by the way. I mean, I was driving through town once and I looked, and I've got most of these gifts because I'm an archangel. I'll tell you what the arc means in a minute. And so, I was driving through town. The same hill that my sister was on, by the way. And I came to the stop at the bottom and I looked to my right and underneath a dogwood tree, there was a mother fox and her two babies. And I had Helen with me and she looked at them and I said, whoa. And so I said, but there was a car behind us and so I couldn't stay there. And so I pulled ahead and I made a U-turn and I came up on the other side and I rolled down my window because the driver's side is on the opposite side to yours. It's on the left. And so I looked out the window at the foxes so I could get a better view of them. And the mother fox and the babies looked up at me and the babies started crossing the road to come to my car. I'm going, holy sugar. That's interesting. So all of these things. And so angels have all of these powers. I mean, and they have more. I mean, you know, these abilities, the heavenologies that I call them, are as infinite as we are. I mean, and because we're caretakers and, you know, we walk through the forests and the jungles and the savannas and the deserts we're spirit walkers in the sense that we can project our body, we can go into other animals, we can go into any of those animals. And an Indian in one of my lifetimes, I was a spirit walker and I went into owl. I can remember going into the owls and I I remembered the feel of the wind in my wings and the power and the silence. And, you know, it was at night and I was flying and I could hear the mice on the forest floor squeaking and running around. It's amazing. And this is what we do every day of our existence. And we walk amongst the animals. And when I was a veterinary student at Ohio State, I was in the zoo animal class, and there was a Werner Heuschle that was teaching the class. And he'd hand raised some tigers, some Bengal tigers. And when he walked into the room that their cage was in, these tigers started to purr and rub up against the cage because they wanted him to come over and pet them. And this is what it's like in heaven, the loving galaxy, nirvana, paradise, whatever you want to call it. And so all of these experiences, every angel has them. The difference is Ark. Are you familiar with the Bible and the Ark of the Covenant?
Explain how you want to explain it, because it's been a while since school.
Yeah, well, the Ark is it's got a number of meanings, and let me go ahead and just call them up.
Because what was the one you said yourself? What was it you said at the beginning before we started?
Oh. What was that? Oh, you mean Archangel Michael? The Ark is okay. An Ark is a bridge. It's a span. Okay, it goes from one place to another. Make sense? And so, what? An Ark is also the top. The Archangel, the top angel. One of the biggest, most important angels. And how familiar with the Bible where it states there was a war in heaven between good and evil?
No, I'm not that clued up on it, to be fair. I'm not massive on the Bible.
Okay, that's fine. That's no worries. So there was a war in heaven. And in that war, we were fighting a loveless empire, we will call it, which was made up of essentially biological machines, because that's what human bodies are without love. They're just machines, and they made all kinds of machines, and they implanted, just like they're wanting to do now, they implanted all kinds of controls so that they can control what we think and what we do. And so these planets were populated by these loveless beings that were occupying bodies, and their deceived followers. Remember, if you taste of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if, you know, as soon as you start doing things that hurt others, you become like these evil people. Now, evil beings can never become good, but good people can do evil things. And there's no question. And so these empires, these planets, had evil people, deceived followers that were doing their bidding and torturing and murdering and enslaving. And then they had their slaves or their gophers, their grunts, the people that did all this stuff. Hold on a minute. And so all of these things were happening. And I was the one who figured out how to defeat them. And it was simple, but it meant that. So what we did was they were going from planet to planet. in their machines, and they were, you know, they would destroy it, just like they're destroying this Earth. They had destroyed the planets they lived on, and they were immortal, so they could keep their technology, and they could improve on it and make it stronger and stronger and more powerful. But when they made one planet uninhabitable, they would go to another one. They were like a cancer, like a locust, and they would go to the next planet, and they would do the same thing.
And you remember this?
So, oh yeah,
yeah. So what is this? Is this in? This ain't one of your past lives. This is in.
This is my beingness. Yeah. I mean, I was an immortal being at the time, and I am.
So, what I was saying earlier as well. So, how do you remember this?
It's. Have you talked to near-death experiencers? When they die, they feel their minds flooded with knowledge. And that knowledge is what we've always had. In other words, we just remember. Remember, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. We have always been, we always will be. And so what I quote unquote remember these things, I go exterior. Like just before this meeting, I call it taking naps, or I'm not sure what you call it in Britain, but you know, just take a snooze or whatever. And I actually go exterior when I'm doing this. And I guess my best example was I was caretaker for my mother when she got older and she was getting sicker and dying. And she had fallen and broken her hip. And so I had to be with her 24/7. I literally slept in the bed with her to make sure that she didn't get out of bed and try to walk around. So I was, and in addition, I was working 60 hours a week, and I was doing auditing at the Church of Scientology. And so I was sitting on the sofa waiting for the bus to come that took her to the geriatric daycare. While I was sitting on the sofa, I was planning what I was going to do that day. Because when you have a 60-hour job, and I was doing all this auditing, and I was taking care of my mother, and you know, it was kind of a busy life. And so I took the time to reflect and plan my day. And I heard, you know, I was listening for the, I had my eyes closed, and I was listening for the bus to come. And because it was a diesel bus, and so it made a clattering noise that couldn't miss. And so I was sitting there waiting for it, or laying there, laying down. I was sprawled out on the sofa. And I heard my mother laughing. And she was laughing her ass off. And I opened my eyes, and I looked over, and I said, "What are you doing? Why are you laughing?" She says, "You're snoring." So I don't sleep so much as I get exterior to my body. I let my body sleep because it needs to sleep, but I go exterior. And so before this thing, I took a nap, and I started thinking about, well, what if he asked me this? What if Daniel asked me that? Or, by the way, you like Daniel or Danny or Dan or whatever? Okay. Yeah, it's just, I know I was in trouble. I was, I won't tell you. But anyways, I can digress in a second. So anyways, so we've had this ability. And so I remember, you know, and it started about 8 or 9 years ago. And I thought, at the beginning, I thought it was just messages from God. You know, and, you know, I said, oh, you know, God must be God telling me these things. And And when I was doing my false purpose rundown, usually they go through all of your lifetimes on Earth and find out everything you've done wrong and why you did it, and then you won't do it again. And they hit a wall. In other words, they wanted to find something that I'd done bad, because I won't go into Scientology, but they wanted to find something that I'd done bad that they could hold over my head, I guess. I don't know. But they kept pushing and pushing. But it was a wall. I couldn't get past it. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was. I knew that there wasn't anything evil that I'd done before that, but I couldn't get past it. And so over the last 5-6 years, I've started remembering. And it's just, it's little by little. And I've been remembering previous lifetimes. Remember I told you that I could pop out of my body anytime it was under mortal threat. And that's what I do. And it's just, every time I've died, my first time I died, I told you the Indians, which turned out to be white men dressed up as Indians because they wanted to kill off all the Indians. Well, we're not going to go down that. The evil on this earth is crazy. And so the second time I was an Indian. This was when I was a spirit walker. And I was running through the forests, and I was young. I was in my early 20s, and I was full of energy, and I was immortal and bulletproof. And you know how kids are. And I was running because I was healthy, and I was vital, and I could run like the wind. And I thought nothing could get me. And I ran into this clearing, and in the middle of the clearing was some blackberries. And munching on the blackberries was a black bear and her cubs. And when this mother bear saw me running at her cubs, she went into overdrive. And I said, oh, shit, I can outrun this kid. And so I kicked myself into overdrive and started taking away off on the other side. And suffice to say, I didn't outrun the bear. And she was a southpaw. In other words, she was left-handed. And so, and I didn't see this, so I wasn't able to get out of my body because I didn't know it was about to happen. And so she swiped across my neck, and she tore it down to the bone. She ripped out the flesh, and it was a mortal wound. I mean, it got down to the arteries and everything. And at that point, I popped out, but it was too late because the body had already experienced that pain. And so, by the way, I had a stiff neck, and I still do. If you noticed the last time you saw me, I had a scarf on, because anytime it's cool, I got to keep my neck warm. Otherwise, it starts to get an ache right in the left hand side where the bear swiped it. But anyway, moving on. So the next time I was killed in an ambush, because I was I was leading a group of people to safety, and we'd been betrayed and we'd been ambushed, and I felt like I'd betrayed them, and I couldn't understand what had happened, and they shot me, and I died. So the next time I came back as an Indian again, because that nobody could hurt me, and so I figured I was safe. But I got involved with the Korean War, and I went to Korea, and I guess I told you this one yesterday, and I remember going, the only parts of my lives that I remember are right around the time that I die. And so I remembered going up a hill and taking it back. And I was really good at what I did. And so I was a sergeant, but it's a non-commissioned officer. And so they don't have a lot of status. And I was an Indian. And I was going to be discharged. And when I got to the truck that I was going to be discharged on, the person driving the truck was a corporal, and he was one of the elite whites. And he looked down upon Indians, like, you know, they're trash and they're nothings. And so when I asked, you know, and it was middle of winter, I asked if I could ride in the cab, and he said, no, you have to ride back there. That's where, you know, it's, you know, that's what this regulations say. And I said, well, okay. And so I sat back there in the cold and bouncing around on the bench behind him. And anyways, I got my chest blown out. And again, the chest blowing out caused me to have a cough, and that's another story. But again, I pop out of my body, and I watched what was happening. And so I had a death experience, not a near-death experience. So all of these things were death experiences, but not near death, because I died. And I got recycled. I got my mind wiped, and just like all of the other people on this earth, I got my mind wiped, and I went back into a body, and I was born on December 26th. And I've always said that I was born a day late, and that I've been a dollar short ever since. And so, anyway, so this is what I am. And I've been remembering other things. And, you know, I told you that I've remembered my previous lives and, you know, before that block and all of the things that I've been. And so archangels are, and there's only a few of us, and we're not that different. It's just, have you ever watched Ender's Game?
Ender's Game? Nah. What, the Marvel one? Marvel Endgame? Okay. Or did you say Ender's Game? Sorry.
No, Ender's Game. It's a movie. It's a book and or a movie. And anyways, it was where Ender was put into a simulated battle with another race that was threatening Earth. And all of these battles were fought with the rules that we customarily use to fight battles. And what Ender did was he recognized that there was a way to defeat them, and it was a way that no other human could ever imagine, and it was to sacrifice his troops to protect the ship that had the bomb that would destroy the homeworld. And because every other strategy was to keep as many of your troops alive as possible to fight the enemy. And so what I realized was we would sacrifice those planets that they came to, and we had a technology I don't know if I discovered it or we discovered it. It's a collective, but we have a way to contain or to keep beings contained so that they don't leave and scatter and go to the far ends of the universe and start it all over again. So anyways, we'll call it a force field. And so we would take these worlds, we would allow them to come there, and then we'd sacrifice the world, and they'd gradually do what they are doing to this world now, and the loving beings that volunteered to stay there, they knew what they were, and so they knew that when they died, they'd get out of this world, because we opened up the portals, the gates, whatever you want to call it, the tunnels, you know, NDEs, and near-death experiencers have all kinds of descriptions for it, because it's customized to their reality. Anyway, so, you know, they left, and they knew that there was no reason to stay there and to let their bodies suffer, so they essentially euthanized their bodies. And we can euthanize our bodies if things are hopeless, but we can only do it if things are hopeless. So they didn't do it right away. In other words, they had hope. They figured, well, maybe we can resist them. Maybe we can do things. And so they tried to fight them and they had hope, but they were inevitably killed. And when they were killed, they left and they got out. But none of them commit suicide. We don't commit suicide if we can help, if we can do things. We don't allow our bodies to die if they have hope. And so that's why through the millennia, we've had to allow all of this to happen. Because I can't euthanize a body unless there's no hope. And so that's the way it's been. And that's the way it always has to be. That's one of our rules. So anyway, I'm an archangel. And so arch is also a bridge. And so when I die, I am unique. Matter of fact, this is a uniqueness to every near-death experiencer. Because to a person, so far, I haven't talked to all of them, but I have not found any near-death experiencer who died, and the first thing they thought of was the people they left behind. None.
I've had one.
And, yeah, exactly.
It wasn't like they thought about him, though. It wasn't like they thought about him. They've had, like, their like, sort of photos of them and memories and good times just like go past them.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and we have lots of those, but you don't have anything of, after death experiences.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I like to watch Dan Bongino, and his mother died recently. And he had an after death experience with her. At the moment she died, he said he woke up and there was something or somebody in the bed next to him, and it gave him a hug. And he realized it was his mother. And, I haven't told you this, but I taught my mother because she, yes, I did tell you this. She was allergic to morphine. And if she ever got morphine, she was allergic to it. So she'd actually start itching, and she fell and broke her hip. And the first thing they did when they got her into the hospital and she was stable, they gave her morphine. And she started literally trying to tear the skin off her arms. And so, and it wasn't helping with the pain. I've got the same problem. Morphine doesn't help me with pain. Fortunately, I'm not allergic to it, but and I can go exterior, but that's another story. We're not going to go there. We don't really have a limited amount of time. And so I had to hold her hands, and I taught her how to go exterior. And, I taught her how to get out of her body like I could do. So I couldn't teach her how to turn off the pain, but when she's out of her body, she didn't feel any pain. And so, I was in a room with somebody who was dying from hepatitis C. And, and when I was teaching my mother that night, I was up with her all night. And when I was teaching her, and because I had to do this the entire time she was on it, I mean, I couldn't stop. And so I got her exterior and we just talk and I just be with her. And I just, and I would keep her there by keep talking to her about it. And the woman in the bed next to us, she went exterior. And she said, "This is so great." And I taught her how to go exterior, and then later she got a blockage in her digestive system, an artery going to her guts, and it caused her guts to start dying. And if you've ever had gas pains, you can imagine how painful that is. And so I had to switch the out-of-body into overdrive. And then she surprised me. She can astral project. She can astral project with all of our senses. And so she took me to an island off the coast of Michigan in Lake Superior, which is called Gitchigumi, but anyway, in the Indian language. Anyway, she took me to the island, which has some of the few remaining stands of virgin timber in United States. And we were walking through the forest, and I could hear the sticks and feel the moss. We were barefoot. I could feel the moss under my feet. I could touch the trees, and on the north side, I could feel the moss, and on the south side, I could feel the rough bark, and I could smell the woods. I don't know if you've ever been into a fir forest, but I could smell the firs, and I could smell the spruces, and I could hear the birds, and I could see the sun coming through the branches and the dappling on the forest floor. And we walked down onto the beach, and I could feel the rocks and hear the water lapping on the shore and smell the ocean. And it was just amazing. I mean, she could astral travel like you couldn't believe. And the point of this story was after body experiences, I was with her, and, you know, I can't sense spirits. I can't do any of this, some of the things that people, that so many people can do. But I was with her, along with my older sister, and we had our hands across her chest, and we felt her spirit leave her body, and we were enveloped with an unbelievable joy and happiness. And I guess that's a death experience. And so, and we went down to the canteen or cafe or whatever you want to call it. And we were sitting there laughing and just sharing memories of her. And we found out that at the exact moment she died, she went to my sister and she gave her some advice, and she was a little bit miffed because she died, and my sister was grooming a dog. And so, after-death experiences, and so to get to the point, I'm an archangel or a bridge, because every person who has had a death or a near-death experience is not going to be overwhelmed when we do finally die, because we already know the love. And so we are unique in the fact that we can go to, just like Dan Bongino's mother went to him and my mother went to my sister, we can go to the people we love and we can tell them how beautiful it is, how much love there is, and how they'll be waiting for us. And, and so there's nothing to fear, because in this time when despair and torture and pain and suffering are literally taking over the world, and you saw my websites, and you saw all the things that I've been doing and trying to do to help people and animals in the world. And it's all been for naught, because I got canceled. I mean, on Facebook, I had my main, main page. And I was talking about some of this stuff, not all of it, but some of it. And I was also talking about the things that I've learned about COVID and about You know, I'm not going to go into all of those things because that's negativity. And
we've only got about five more minutes as well, so I need to ask one more question.
Okay.
So I know you could go on for hours.
But oh, I could. I got the gift of the gab, as the Irishman say.
So as we only got about five more minutes anyway before this will shut off. The last question I just want to ask is, what is heaven like to you? Or could you explain to the people if people want to know what it's like?
Heaven is love. Period. It's love. It's a place that everything is perfect. Just like they described, the NDEs describe it. Everything is warmth, peaceful, loving. It's as it was created by the loving creator. And I can go into details. It's like, I can tell you, if we had the time, I could tell you about the how we live. And I could tell you about the, well, it's, I call it mindology. There's no technology. It's all mindology. You know, you may have seen some of the theories that pyramids were actually power generators. We have power generators that are the size of matchboxes. It was some of the technology that was developed by Tesla. And, and he was just touching the outlying of it. And, you know, and we are all scattered across the earth. We, you know, and, you know, the human race is still wherever it developed. In other words, Africans are in Africa, the Indians are in India, the indigenous Indians are wherever they were, and because that's where the bodies were developed to thrive. So we don't go other places, and we don't have to, because we're not the bodies. They are just, they're sort of like a biological robot with feelings, and that feeling is love. And so, and when we occupy a body, it's a symbiotic. Are you familiar with symbiosis? Yeah, symbiosis is just the sum of the two is greater than the individuals. And so they get to experience, and our intellect, our memories, our beingness, and it's like getting a booster shot of love. And by the way, when we die, I told you we could euthanize bodies. If a body is injured, because accidents happen, and there's no chance for it to recovery, we do euthanize them, but we euthanize them with love. Are you familiar with, well, I'm sure you're not, but in the Bible, it states you can't look upon the face of God because it would kill you. The face of God is God's love. That's his countenance. That's what is there. And to be exposed to that magnitude of love overloads the circuits, shall we say. And so the body literally dies of love. And so I am the archangel, and I love everything, every loving being, every animal on this earth, everything that was created in the Creator's love. And so when I die, I'm a little bit more powerful than the average NDEers, because they love people, they love friends, they love family, they love acquaintances, they love their animals, they love a lot of things, and they can come to them, but they don't have the magnitude of love that I have, and they don't have that ability. And so when I die, I'm going to basically euthanize all the loving beings on this earth so they no longer suffer. But it has to be when all hope is gone. And right now, people have hope. They have hope that their political whatever is going to win. They have hope that they're going to make money. They have hope that their job is going to be there tomorrow. They have hope that their children is going to be this, that, or the other thing. They have hope. And as long as there's hope, we can't euthanize anything. But there is a dark age coming. There is a global catastrophe that is going to literally wipe out every country. Everything is just going to crash. And it's going to cause a dark age because the fall of every empire, and this is a global empire, with the fall of every empire, there has been a dark age. And in that dark age, all hope will be gone. And then I will euthanize my body, and then I'll take care of the rest of you.
Can you make sure you take care of me, please?
Oh, I will. You'll be right up on top of my list.
Well, that's a great way to end it, to be fair. That was amazing.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Well, Bob, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and I hope everyone at home loved and enjoyed the show. And as I said, if you message me on Instagram on the Answer Podcast 2024, and just give me a bit of feedback, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, well, I don't have Instagram. I can sign up for it.
Yeah, I could put you on some more people as well. I could put you on some more people to get on their shows.
Okay, yeah. I'd love it. I'd love it, love it, love it.
Well, Bob, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Take care.
Well, thank you, and you too.